So the title of this message is When God Stirs the Pot, and it's a little bit of a follow-up to Pastor Ben last week did When God Comes Down, and I'll kind of explain how that kind of unfolded. When he was preaching last week, he at one point in his message, and it was kind of toward the end, he said, God is stirring the pot. And he stepped forward and he made this giant stirring motion. If you were here, you may have remembered that. And boy, when he did that and he said that, it was just like this, I don't know, this revelatory thing hit me. And I was like, this is important. This is noteworthy. I wrote it down, stirring. And I thought of a name immediately, and this name will mean nothing to most of you. But it's just something that the name is associated with something I've been paying attention to in the news, and for whatever reason, this guy's name came to me, and the guy's name is Uri Berliner. Some of you may know that name, but most of you probably knew not. Uri Berliner was an editor for, and many of you know, I worked in the newspaper business for 28 years, and so I pay attention to media things. And so Uri Berliner has been in the news. He was an editor for 25 years at NPR. And now NPR, some of you are like, oh my gosh, NPR. Yeah, it's a pretty left-leaning media, but I've listened to it for years. And it hasn't always functioned the way that it is functioning now. Anyway, so Uri Berliner has been as an editor there for many, many years. And for whatever reason, he recently wrote this commentary piece that was in another publication. It wasn't on NPR, and he came forward with saying that his company is biased, his media company is biased, and he kind of spelled out like all these examples of how his company is not fair and how it treats certain news events, which is amazing to me. That caught my attention immediately because, I mean, I've noticed it for years as I listen to this station. And Connie sometimes say, "Why do you even listen to that?" Well, I always like to know what the enemy is doing, so I'm always kind of paying attention to this. But Uri Berliner wrote this piece in the Free Press, called the Free Press, I believe, And none of the media covered it, of course. None of the other media picked up on it. At least most didn't. But he ended up getting a 5-day suspension. My thought was, how does he even still have his job? Because he's basically criticizing his employer. I printed out what he wrote, and I'm just going to share a couple of things that he wrote. The title of his piece was called, "I've been at NPR for 25 years. Here's how we lost America's trust." And again, as a media person, I pay attention to this stuff. I observe this stuff. And you're wondering, what does this have to do with anything with this message? And I'll get there. Believe me, I'll get there. But here's how he describes himself when he starts writing this. He says, I know the stereotype of the NPR listener. And he kind of lists all these sort of woke current cultural things. And he says this, tote bag carrying cultural elitist that doesn't precisely describe me, but it's not far off. I'm a Sarah Lawrence educated, raised by a lesbian peace activist. I drive a Subaru. Sorry if you drive a Subaru. I think my daughter drives a Subaru. And Spotify says my listening habits are most similar to people in Berkeley. Basically, what he's saying is he fits the NPR mold. He says, I will cop to that. But here's what he also says. If you are conservative and you're reading this, you're going to say, well, it's always been like this. But his point is that it hasn't always been like that. They haven't always been biased. And what he writes about, he basically writes about five or six different issues over the last several years that NPR has been one-sided. And the NPR said right from the very start they weren't going to cover the Hunter Biden laptop story. And of course, evidence has shown that there's been something to that. And they've never come back and said, oh, there is something to that. And he's basically calling out his employer, saying, you know, we're supposed to be fair-minded. And I don't know anything about Uri Berliner's faith. I don't know that he has any faith. I don't know that he's coming from. He basically says, I'm coming from this, you know, from this left position. He said, but we're still not being fair. We're still not being fair. So here's my point in mentioning all this. When Pastor Ben said God is stirring the pot, and because I've been thinking, why did he do this? Why did he do that? Why did he write this? He knows he's probably going to lose his job, and he has since resigned from the position. But my thought was he was probably new. But my thought was, and I referenced this in our open door class today, that I referenced the prodigal and the whole account of the prodigal, and we're not going to read the account, but the whole point of the prodigal is that he took his dad's money, went and blew it on wild living, the scripture says, and he found himself eating with the pigs. And then the scripture says, when he came to his senses, he realized, oh my goodness, I can go back to my father who has everything I need. I don't have to be eaten with the pigs. And so he returned to his father. And so when Pastor Ben said that, and I immediately, for whatever reason, thought of Uri Berliner, I thought, man, I'm not saying this is what happened, because I don't know. There's probably no way of knowing unless Uri Berliner actually tells us this. What prompted him, after all these years, to say, my employer isn't being fair? My employer isn't, you know. And see, we know that as time goes on, as things go on, the Lord's going to expose things in our culture, in our world, that are not right. And so for whatever reason, I saw this big stirring motion, and I thought, Lord, did you stir that up in him? Did you stir that? Did you stir something in him to come clean after all these years? He's part of it, and he acknowledges that. He's not saying he hasn't been part of it. And apparently, and I've read a lot about this since then, but he's tried for a couple of years to get his employer to acknowledge its ways, and nobody would listen to him. Nobody would listen to him. So he went to another media thing, wrote a piece, and just said, "I'm telling the world about this." And I had that thought, God's stirring the pot. And again, I am not standing up here today saying that's exactly what happened, because I don't know, but it sounds like something our God would do. And God will use anybody. You don't have to be a follower of God for him to use. He'll use people in the world to do things. And you wonder, I sometimes wonder if he's sitting there going, why did I do this? So that's kind of how this whole God stirring the pot message sort of emerged. Because my mind immediately went there. I wrote it down, and I was like, okay, Lord. And again, I wish I could say absolutely that that's how this emerged. I can't do that, because it may not have been, but I can see that happening. So I messaged Pastor Ben and said, hey, can you tell me a little bit about what was, if you even remember doing that, and remember saying that, and whether that was in your notes or whether that was something spontaneous. And here's what Pastor Ben said. He just said, this was actually during service last week, during worship. He said, I saw a pot being stirred during worship. And the basic point is that God is stirring up the status quo or business as usual, shaking, stirring the pot to prevent stagnation. And so, boy, again, when he said that, stirring the status quo. So this guy in this media is like, this has been status quo here for a long time. So even his description of what he saw during worship fit with what I believe is happening, where the Lord is just stirring things up. He is shaking things up. And Pastor Don gave a message years ago. He said, if it can be shaken, it's going to be shaken. If it can be shaken, it's going to be shaken. And boy, I can see as the days are going along here that the things are being shaken. Things are being stirred. So I'm going to get into a few scriptures, and then I'm going to give you some more examples. But so in the Old Testament, in the prophet Haggai gives this account. He said, then Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, Joshua, son of Jozadak, Whew, say those three names fast. The high priest and a whole remnant of the people obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the message of the prophet Haggai because the Lord their God had sent him. And the people feared the Lord. Then Haggai, the Lord's messenger, gave this message of the Lord to the people. I am with you, declares the Lord. So the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of the whole remnant of the people. And they came and they began to work on the house of the Lord Almighty, their God, on 24th day of the sixth month. And I give this example for a specific reason. And the reason is that when God is stirring, and it started with a prophet, started with Josh, then Joshua, and then it spilled into the remnant of the people, and they were all stirred. Now, if you were in this room today, I could probably walk around the room and say, were you stirred today? Were you stirred today? And many of you would say yes. Some of you would say, I don't know. Some of you may say no, and that's okay. There's no condemnation there. Not everybody experiences things the same. But there was a stirring, and after there was a stirring, there was a response. There was a response. They began to work on the house of the Lord. So when the Holy Spirit, when God is stirring the pot, when he's stirring the pot, and whatever that looks like, whenever you have some sense of a stirring, it was interesting in class today. I shared the account of the parable of the lost son of the prodigal, and as I was preparing to go up there, I thought, what if nobody shares? What if nobody has a God stirring come to your senses moment? And oh my goodness, was I wrong? I heard accounts from you all that I've never heard before. I mean, just dramatic God moments where God stirred something. I mean, we're talking about things from many years ago. It's things that are current. God is stirring the pot. He is stirring the pot. And when we're paying attention and we're acknowledging him in our lives, and actually some of these accounts were before some of you even knew Jesus, where you knew that God did something in you before you even knew him, to reveal some attribute about himself, to reveal something to, and a lot of these things were protective. They were like, leave this place right now. Don't go into that room right now. Get out of this situation. Steal the guy's car keys and take his car and get out of that situation right now. I mean, this is real stuff. These were real accounts of people in potentially real danger in several situations. And God, in his amazing grace and amazing provision and his amazing stirring, spoke something to people and they responded. So when he spoke here, they responded. These are not necessarily real dramatic accounts, but it's just examples of right from Scripture where God stirred somebody. We have another one from the Old Testament, Ezra. The family heads of Judah and Benjamin and the priests and Levites and everyone whose heart God had moved. Everyone whose heart God had moved prepared to go and build the house of the Lord in Jerusalem. All their neighbors assisted them with articles of silver and gold, with goods, with livestock, with valuable gifts in addition to all the freewill offerings. And again, we just see an example of when there's a stirring to do something, people responded. And my question to you is, boy, when you get a stirring, when you get some thought, and a lot of times people will, if they're sitting here and the Holy Spirit's doing something in there, one of the things they say up here, oh, my hands are shaking, or my heart is pounding. I know I need to do something. I know I need to share something, or I need to, respond. There's a response. There's a response. God is doing a work. God is stirring the pot. And so I have all this kind of in the back of my mind, and we come into class, in our Men of Valor class on Wednesday, and one of our men, I'm not going to identify individual here, but one of our men comes in and basically this ended up being our class discussion, but he gave this testimony of a week ago. So Pastor Ben gives this message on Sunday. This situation happened on Monday, the very next day. This man was going through just some emotional and mental kind of calisthenics sort of where he was, you know, thinking about things in his life and his and children and worrying about this and worrying about that. And he pulled into a driveway where he was going to be doing some work that day, and he was just worried about whatever all was coming on his mind. And so that's his state of mind. And he pulls into the driveway, and it's 1:05 p.m. This is how specific our God is that he noted the time. It's 1:05 p.m. And he heard the Lord say, "Why don't you trust me? Why don't you trust me?" And in those moments, there's an encounter. In those moments, there's a response. "Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness, you're so good to me. You're so faithful to me." And a response of basically repentance. And this has been this person never had an encounter like this in his life. And as he's sharing this, I'm thinking, God stirred the pot. God stirred the pot. God stirred the pot. Why is this so relevant? What are you doing? You're stirring the pots of your people. You're stirring the pots of your people. And this ended up being our entire lesson that we talked about. Well, boy, when God moves and he's doing something, that we have to respond. And he responded with repentance. He responded with, "Oh my goodness, yes, I know you're good. I know this intellectually. Now I need to live this out and to walk this out and not take on this worry and this concern and this pressure that I put on myself to make anything happen." So that was another example. And I love when God asks us questions. Do you ever let God quiz you? Do you ever let him examine you? And yeah, don't be afraid to do that. He'll probably get right to the point. He will not probably won't beat around the bush. I mean, this was pretty direct. "Why don't you trust me?" So here's a couple more examples from Old Testament. Exodus. The whole community, Israelite community, withdrew from Moses' presence. Everyone who was willing and whose heart moved them came and brought an offering to the Lord for the work on the tent of meeting, for all of its service, for all of the garments. We're talking about the tabernacle, building the temple. In Exodus, so all the skilled workers, were doing all the work on the sanctuary, left what they were doing and said to Moses, "The people are bringing more than enough for doing the work the Lord commanded to be done." And I shared both of these in tandem because, again, when there's a stirring in the first part, they went and they did something. They responded. They did the work. And boy, when we're obedient, comes the second verse, there's more than enough. There's more than enough. When you're obedient to the things that God has stirred you to do, and you may think, "How am I ever going to do this? How will I ever accomplish this? How will I ever have enough to do it? How will I ever, you know, what if I'm the only one? What if I," you know, when the Lord calls you to do something, he's got the provision already made for it to be accomplished, but you're the vessel and you have to step into the obedient part of saying yes. And I say it all the time, if you're afraid, do it afraid. Do it afraid. There's many, many things that in my walk with Jesus, and many things even as pastor that I've had to step into a little bit afraid. Like, "Lord, what's that going to look like? What is that going to do?" I say it all the time. You heard announcements for several different things. There's always things going on around here. We always have opportunities we have to reach into the community and to love and care for people. And I sign us up for many of these things without ever asking anybody. Because I rarely have I had a thought, what if nobody does it? What if nobody signs up? And maybe early on I had more of those reservations or more of those thoughts. But here's what happens: the Lord shows himself to be faithful, and when you can trust his faithfulness, that he's the one that originated this idea. It didn't come from man. It didn't come from us. He had originated it. So he did the stirring, and it prompted somebody to be obedient. So then in Philippians, we have this just amazing encouragement from Paul and instruction from Paul in chapter 2, and starting with verse 1. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, so put yourself in this equation as we read this, and I'll get to the point of it toward the end. But Put yourself in the equation of it. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, again, put yourself in this. It's saying if you, the you is, the you for this passage today is you, not the church at Philippi. Any tenderness or compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and one in mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. In your relationships with one another, and he's speaking to the body of Christ, he's speaking to the church at Philippi, so I'm speaking to the Church of Abundant Life Fellowship in New Waterford, Ohio, on this date. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. Boy, that's a assignment. That's an assignment right from the start. So again, put yourself in the equation. Who being in very nature God did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by being obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to be to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, we sang about that name today, your name is the highest, your name is the greatest, that the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act to fulfill his good purpose. And when I read that, I was like, it is God who stirs the pot. It is God who stirs the pot. And so all of that background, all of those early verses setting the groundwork for this was stay bowed down. Make yourself a servant. In your relationships with one another, put others above yourself. Lay down the things that try to divide that or separate that. Because it's God who wants to work in you, and I believe it's purposeful in the way this is all put together. It's not an accident that we start out with this whole example of being like Jesus, be like Jesus, be like Jesus, and then he says, because it's God who works in you, and there's something to that because if my inclination is that if we don't do that early part, if we don't follow that example, if we try to hold on to things and try to don't put others above ourselves, and we don't try to fix broken things among us, that the God working in us part gets stifled. It gets stifled. There's a blockage. There's a blockage. There's things that get in the way. There's things that hinder progress and hinder growth. And so God may be stirring the pot, but we're not getting any of it because there's a blockage preventing us from hearing it, from seeing it, from paying attention. And my encouragement is, oh my goodness, let the stuff, work it out, figure it out, or throw it off, whatever means. Everything doesn't need to be, you don't have to fix everything, just surrender it. Just surrender it, and then let God fix it in whatever way he wants to do it, because he's much better at it than we are. He's much better at it than we are. Oh. I heard a wow. So in Colossians, we see a similar example. He is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. To this end, I strenuously contend with all the energy Christ so powerfully works in me. Stirring the pot, pouring out his power, his energy, whatever it is he's working. But he's the one doing it. He's the one doing it. And here again, Paul's encouragement to the church at Colossae is that we're trying to teach everyone with wisdom and present everyone fully mature. Boy, you know, I'm not Paul. I'm just Jeff from Salem, Ohio, pastor of Abundant Life Fellowship. But my boy, I'd love to be able to say, I want to present every one of you, every one of you, to Christ fully mature, including myself. And I still have work to do. We all have work to do. But again, with all the energy Christ so powerfully works in us, are you aware that Christ is working some power in you? As he's stirring them, because we have an assignment this year. We know it. We talk about it a lot. We know that the harvest is already ripe for us to go and tell. Because he's given us this word. So we don't have to question, well, is this the right time to go and tell? Yes. Yes, if you're asking yourself that question, Fran gave this amazing account last night at the Jubilees of going to the dentist's office. You know, Fran's stories usually come when she's traveling on an airplane. But she's just going to the dentist. She's going to the dentist and got to share with the hygienist. And got to pray with a hygienist about Jesus. The harvest is ripe. And so we know that he's stirred a message in us. Go and tell. And all we have to do is do it. And many of you are. And it's amazing. It's amazing the testimonies that continue to come forth because of it. So I was writing down my notes and I was putting this all together, and I thought of another account. So one of our men walked into the sanctuary last week, and as he walked into the sanctuary, again, this was God asking him a question, and this was another stirring the pot type moment. He walked in the sanctuary, and God said to him, "How good am I?" You think, man, when he was first telling this story, I'm thinking, God doesn't need us. I mean, God knows how good he is. So it was a rhetorical question, but yet it was one that stopped him in his tracks. How good am I? How do I even answer that? There's not enough words on earth. In fact, I think even when he was telling the story, he said, there's no human words possible to express the vastness of how good you are. And as I was sitting there listening to this, Holy Spirit said, "No, but we have a heavenly way we can tell them. We have a heavenly language. We don't need human words. We can just go into worship and just praise him, just praise him, just praise him, and tell him how good he is." But it was, again, it was a Holy Spirit moment where God stirred something, and just for that moment wanted to be acknowledged for how good he is, and just ask, you know, wanted, you know, it's, it, and again, I love when God asks us questions. Don't be surprised. Don't be surprised as you're going about your day this week if there's a question that comes to your mind. Don't dismiss it. Don't dismiss it. If you're not driving a car, write it down. Pay attention to these things, because God is stirring the pot for a reason. He's growing his church. He's challenging his church. He's equipping his church. He's sending his church, and that's us. That's us. And so it's not just some random thing God's doing because he can. He's doing it because he's always purposeful. We're always, you know, living life on assignment is the best way to live. It's the best way to stay on track. Because there's many things out there that can distract us and tear us away, try to tear us away. Try to tear us down, try to break us down, try to divide us, try to do all these despicable things. And We don't have to go into that lane. We can stay on this lane of obedience. So I'm working on this, and these passages came to me, and these passages are all about the clay and the potter. In Isaiah 45 says, "Woe to those who quarrel with their maker." Did you ever quarrel with God? I've had my discussions. I mean, I think I told you a couple weeks ago, why is this prayer taking so long to get answered? Woe to those who quarrel with their maker, those who are nothing but potsherds among the potsherds on the ground. Does the clay say to the potter, "What are you making?" Does your work say, "The potter has no hands"? Questions. What are you making? What are you making of me? What are you making of me? He may give us some clues, but he probably won't tell us the whole thing because the product's not done yet. And then Isaiah 64, 8, you, Lord, are our Father. We are the clay. You're the potter. We are the work of your hands. And so then in Romans 9, we read this. Who are you, a human being, to talk back to God? Shall what is formed say to the one who formed it, why did you make me like this? Do you know that you're fearfully and wonderfully made? That's what the scripture says. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. Does not the potter have the right to make out of the same lump of clay some pottery for special purposes and some for common use? And as I was thinking about this whole potter and clay thing, God's stirring the pot. That's us. That's a corporate thing, and it's a personal thing. And my question to you is, are you letting your pot be stirred? Are you letting your pot being stirred, and are you paying attention to what he's saying and to what he's doing? Or are you sort of just sitting on the sidelines saying, well, let's let that happen with Ashley. That's a work he's doing in her, not in me. Or we may say, well, I don't function like that. That's not my gifting. Well, maybe it is. Maybe we pigeonhole ourselves to say, well, I only do this certain thing in the kingdom. Cannot the potter remold the pot to do something that's never done before? Don't be surprised if you get this deposit or this instruction or this thought or this question that challenges the very place you're living. And I don't mean your home, but the very place where, well, here's my life and here's what it looks like and I know all the details and here's how, you know, here's my day from beginning to end, and Lord's saying, I wanna stir that all up. So I was I did a Google thing this week. When God stirs the pot, this video pops up. It's from a pastor named Will Reinmuth from All Souls Community Church. And here's what he says. I just transcribed it. I'm not going to play it, but I just transcribed it. It's from a couple years ago. And he says, is your pot being stirred? When he wants us to grow, he comes and stirs the pot. Now, we know that growth is like one of my favorite things to talk about. I love when we have a growing, thriving, flourishing body, and we do. I love watching growth. Love it. Love when I see a believer, just stepping into something. One of the people we're baptizing today, we've seen tangible growth in the last, 6 months to a year, and he's getting in the water today. And I love when that happens. So, Will Reinmuth says, when he wants us to grow, he comes and he stirs the pot. Because there's something about us, and think about this, put yourself in this equation, because this really landed with me. Because there's something about us that wants to settle, that's used to settling in our own control and our own comfort and what we're used to and what we know and what makes sense to us. And yet, when God wants to grow us, what he says is, I don't want it to simply be what makes sense to you. I don't want it to be what is most comfortable for you. What I want is to shake things up a little bit so that what is most true in you, what is most true about you, comes out of you. In other words, me, my spirit, Holy Spirit talking here, that has given you breath that sustains you every minute of your life so that Holy Spirit gets stirred up and becomes more truly who you are in you. God in me, God through me, God with me. Growing doesn't always feel good. Sometimes it hurts. The things that used to feel okay don't feel okay anymore and don't work right. It feels like the pot is being stirred. God is saying, hey, here I am. I'm going to use the brokenness of this world to grab your attention. Boy, when I read that, And even as I'm reading it right now and saying it out loud, I'm just thinking again, Uri Berliner, the brokenness of our media. The brokenness of our media. And he's using, I believe he's going to use this man, and is using this man, who may not even have any idea who he is, to grab attention. I'm going to use the brokenness of this world to grab your attention, to grab your heart, to introduce you to me in ways you didn't know me before, and to help you to grow. Are you willing to be shaken? Are you willing to be stirred up? Are you willing to be moved outside of your comfort so that you might grow? Let the truth be the truth, and let the light in and be changed by him. Surrendering, even when it feels like he's stirring stuff up, because he is. In fact, he's promised to do it. So then he gives this instruction. Be still and ask. And this is my instruction to you as we wrap this up. Be still and ask, Lord, where do you want to stir me up? Where are you shaking me up on purpose? What do you want me to see? The purpose is not the stirring or the shaking. The purpose is the seeing. He wants us to see his heart, to know him so that we might actually make him known. Boy, go and tell, make him known. To know him that we might actually live like him, Philippians. Speak like him. Treat one another like he treats us. And in so doing, watch as the world changes. That was just a simple Google, when God stirs the pot. See, when something, you know, if you jump in a lake that hasn't, and nobody's been in for a while, what happens? All that stuff that's in the bottom comes up. And sometimes when God's stirring the pot, all this stuff that's maybe buried in our heart that we haven't dealt with or don't want to address or don't want to deal with, or that we just try to cover up or let's just do works. Let's just do some good works and that'll cover. Well, God knows and sees it all. He doesn't let us off the hook that easily. And so he's stirring the pot. I have in my notes, so we all know that there's a war going on in the Middle East. And as we continued in our Men of Valor class this week, we talked a little bit about just ways God is stirring the pot, because I brought that into the equation of our discussion, and there's a lot of attention, and I've been noticing I'm paying attention. Pay attention to what's going on in the Middle East. Pay attention to the news regarding this. I'm going to be 65 years old. I've never in my lifetime heard so many people referencing on radio shows, on news shows, biblical accounts of what's happening in the Middle East, biblical accounts of Israel and its importance to the equation. And so I wrote here, more people are learning things about Israel. There's a war going on. In the middle of this war, God's stirring that pot. He's stirring that pot and he's educating people about things that are happening in end times. I heard at least twice in the last 2 weeks accounts from people who have said, I have this thought that I might even be alive when Jesus comes back. I've heard that from two different people, one an older gentleman and one younger than me. And I don't know. I don't know the day or the hour. But I know things are stirring. Things are stirring. And as we were talking about this, somebody in the class, and they probably remember saying this, our country is being stirred. Our country is being stirred. Where are you in the equation? Where are you? Because it's not just for a few people. This is for all of us. This is for all of us. Maybe you're sitting here today and you say, I don't really understand what you're talking about. Talk to us. Talk to us. Talk to somebody. We're at end of every service, there's always people up here that will pray with you. And there's people all around the room. The people that are up here aren't the only ones who can pray. Other people can. If there's somebody you know and trust, and you want to ask them questions. It's like, this speaks to me in a way, but I don't really understand why. And sometimes we don't know the whys of why something is landing. Don't be afraid to ask. There's no question that can't be asked. And I'll be first to say, I don't know, we'll always have the answer. But I was like, we can ask the one who does together. We can pursue him together because God has the answer to anything we might have on our mind. So we're going to pray here. Let's stand. We do a baptism today. It's right up the stairs. Go into you need the elevator. The elevator's right in those doors right out there. The steps are right next to it. And then turn right. Do you recognize today that you are clay? That you are clay being molded and shaped? And sometimes there's reshaping that goes on. And when reshaping goes on, heat is applied. And heat may be a trial or a challenge or some situation that tests you. God is stirring the pot. I believe he's doing it in our world. And I don't know. I don't even begin to know. I mean, as Pastor Ben did that motion, I could just see some spiritual picture of God with this giant spoon. This giant spoon just... And I, you know, and again, we could see it in various regions, perhaps, of the world. Various regions of Columbiana County, various regions of the state where he's just stirring. But let's bring it down to the personal. We're made of clay. Piece of clay. Piece of clay that he just loves to mold and shape and put things in. Say, now go and do, go and be my vessel. Go and love on someone that is really hard to love. So yeah, we have baptism right after service. We have prayer meeting tonight at 6. Prayer meeting is just a very informal gathering where we just, for about an hour or so, we have some worship and we just pray together, and it's kind of just spontaneous. Whoever has something to pray about comes and prays. There's nothing. God's right in the middle of it. It's amazing. He's right in the middle of it. So let's pray. Father, I just thank you so much. I thank you that you are stirring the pot, your people. That's us, your people. And my prayer for each one is that you will stir in ways that we just, there's no denying that you're doing the work, that this isn't a man thing, this isn't anything we can conjure up ourselves. And that throughout this week, there will be these moments of clarity, these moments of revelation, these moments where you perhaps quiz us, ask us questions about what we're doing, what we're not doing, what we're supposed to be doing. I pray for more stirring of the pot in our nation, in our media. Raise up more people to just speak the truth. In our government, Lord, there's all of these entities that make up our life, Lord. We know that you want to be in the middle of all of it. And so have your way. Stir the pot, and as your people, let us just bow into it humbly, just submitting ourselves, saying, Lord, the only way I can do any of this is with your power and with your provision. So help us to lean into you this day.